Hey guys, Elizabeth here. Before we get started, I want to share from our sponsor, Virtue Labs, the new hair care brand with the goal of giving everyone the best hair scientifically possible. This is all via an incredible new protein, alpha keratin 60KU. Alpha keratin 60KU is identical to the keratin in your own hair and has the power to resurface and fill in cracks from damage, which means more bounce, more shine, and more life for your hair. And now you can get it exclusively in Virtue Labs lines of shampoos, conditioners, and styling products. We've been using it. In fact, we're almost out. I need to order some more. I love this stuff. It smells amazing. It makes your hair feel amazing. It feels clean. I feel like some of these... Andy's making a face. I personally feel like a lot of these hair care products feel very chemical laden.
That makes sense. Okay. I didn't know where you're going.
It's clean science. Anyway, visit virtuelabs.com and use the code MARRIED to try Virtue at 10% off plus free shipping. That's VIRTUELABS.com. Use the code MARRIED to try Virtue at 10% off plus free shipping. On with the show.
Totally married.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
Totally married.
The old ball and chain.
I do.
I do.
I'm tired. Maybe tomorrow.
Welcome to Totally Married. I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Andy.
And we're married.
Totally.
Totally.
Married.
Happy Hanukkah.
Oh, thanks so much.
So happy for you. It's a special time.
It is the festival of lights.
It's very fun. I have to say, doing Hanukkah with our kids at this age.
Yeah, we light candles and play dreidel. I don't think we're doing everything that you're supposed to be. But you know what?
You know, Hanukkah is like kind of the least...
holiday of Jewish holidays?
In terms of like sacred holidays.
Oh, yeah. Passover and Yom Kippur.
Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah. You know what I want to... Well, I'm going to do a bad version of it tomorrow. But you know what a big tradition of Hanukkah is donuts.
So
we're going to get some donuts tomorrow. I think you're supposed to make the donuts.
Yes.
But I'm just going to stop by and get some.
I wonder where that tradition began.
I don't know.
Tradition.
Probably with Moses.
I'm betting.
He was a real fiend for donuts.
Oh, man, that Moses. And then he became a policeman.
He did.
That's where that stereotype began.
Which one?
The policeman liking the donut.
Oh, yeah. It all starts with Moses.
It always does. All right, guys. Real quick check-in with you. How's it going? Not great?
Not great. Not horrible.
That's something.
Yeah. It's been a tiring week. The kids have been sick all week. I've been on dad duty all week.
Yeah,
you've
really...
takes a lot out of you.
Yeah, it sure does. I'm sure.
And they don't, they both need so much attention and that much more when they're sick.
You know, someone in my new job, lots of great parents in that room, was saying their kids are older, but like when their 8-year-old comes up to them and is like, I'm bored. They're like, good. That means I'm doing a fantastic job. Like, thank you for letting me know. That means that my job, I'm doing a great job. Because that is a thing. Like, kids are all fucked up because they can never be bored and they're addicted to tablets and everything. And boredom is where creativity happens. It helps you learn how to, like, self-motivate. Curiosity takes hold. Or even just, like, learning how to fucking rest.
Sure.
And be.
Yeah, but it depends on what context is being said. Like, you can't just be a shitty parent that never plans anything for your kid and is never paying attention to them. And then if they're saying that, tap yourself on the back and be like, I'm doing a great job.
No, I mean, of course. And I don't think any parents that we know are like neglecting their kids. If anything, like...
I beg to differ.
Really? I mean, I think that all, like, every parent we know has... I honestly feel like it's the opposite where I don't want to fall into the trap of like... overbooking our kids. They have a million things going on. They have so many classes.
I agree. They
have to be entertained. If they're home, they're doing this. They're watching TV all day, which I know we've been pretty bad about lately, but it's also been like kind of survival.
Yeah.
Lately, it's not going to be forever. That's what I mean. Like, if a kid is bored, that means that unless you're neglecting them, I don't think that's what we're talking about. I think it's, there is truly like, it's an important thing to do to your kid, honestly,
mm-hmm.
is to allow them to be bored.
Oh, I agree.
Our society is too scared of having a full dance card. Or it's too scared not to have a full dance card.
Yeah.
But when they were saying this, I was like, oh yeah, I need to remember that. Like, it is okay for our kids to be bored. And if, I mean, Otis is different, but if Teddy comes up to us and is like, I'm bored, which is starting to happen, sometimes it's like,
go figure something out, go do something.
Yeah. Like that's okay. I get bored too sometimes. And you know what? Cool stuff happens then.
Yeah. But maybe not that cool when you're 4. If you can't,
I think that's when the coolest stuff happens. And honestly, I have seen her be clearly bored and for whatever reason didn't turn it into a thing. And that's when she goes and finds her baby doll and is like changing diapers and has this whole thing going with her doll. And it's like, that's imagination and that's cool. To me, that's the best.
I'm pro imagination. Very pro imagination.
Well, I'm sorry it's been a rough week for you.
Yeah, they just keep getting sick.
You know, it's hard because I'm so happy. I'm having like some of the best weeks of my life, but they come with major guilt. I mean,
as they should, right?
Extraordinary amounts of guilt.
Right.
But why should they?
I mean, just because, like, you should just feel bad, I guess. I'm totally kidding. You shouldn't feel guilt at all. You should be enjoying these weeks. We're so happy that you have this awesome job, that you're, like, your career is blossoming. It's amazing.
I do feel guilty, though.
What do you feel guilty about?
Well, like, you know, I got home tonight at 6:30. I had an hour with them that went by in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And tomorrow I'm going to be with them for an hour in the morning, and then I'm not coming home tomorrow before they go to sleep.
And you know, why is that?
That we have our drinks for our show.
You're going out boozing.
Going out boozing.
So you're going out boozing.
Oh, I'm taking an Uber to work tomorrow.
Ooh, that's fun.
Anyway. But you know what? I'm going to have 2 weeks straight with them, so I'm sure it'll be fine.
You're going to have plenty of time to hang out with them.
It's just, you know, and this is another thing. Sorry, this is probably so boring, especially if you don't have kids. Feel free to bump along a couple minutes. But, you know, right now, you are covering things. Like, we don't have a nanny who's picking one up and then the other and whatever.
Right.
You're picking Teddy up at 2:30. You're home with Odie when he's home. We have, like, you're doing doctor's appointments and all that stuff. And, you know, we're going to have to get someone who goes and picks Teddy up. Like, we're going to have to get childcare.
At some point, I know.
It's like, how do people do this?
I don't know. Doesn't that even just, like, figuring that out? I've already been thinking about it. But, like, it's just, like, even figuring it out feels so nerve-wracking. And then, like, the amount of anxiety I have of other people driving our kids around.
That's so big for me.
Is insanity.
I know.
But, you know, yeah, how the fuck do people do it?
I don't know.
And then there's, like, someone was telling me,
it's
like,
how do people do it who, by the way, I mean, we're also very fortunate. How do people do it who, you know, single moms who are working two jobs?
A lot of people have family.
That's true.
That is your big answer.
Yeah.
That is your big answer.
Yeah.
I think.
Man, I do think about, like, if my parents were alive. I know it's stupid to think about. It's wishful thinking because I don't know if I would even have re-met you. I don't even know, you know, I don't know if I'd have these kids.
They,
I don't know if I'd be living
here. They
probably
wouldn't have let you marry me, is what you're saying.
Oh, no. My parents would have loved you.
I know what you were just about to say.
What?
My mom. I literally heard it coming out of your mouth.
Because
you were doing the math and you're like, yeah, my dad probably wouldn't have, but my mom would have liked you quite a bit.
No, you know what? My dad was a tricky thing. My dad was a tricky thing because I don't think he showed much like for anything or anyone. He wasn't a very emotive person. I mean, I know he loved me and that made me feel special because he didn't show much.
Sure.
Until my mom got sick. Then it all changed. And then it was like Cry City. I was walking in the house. Enya was blaring. He was like...
Nice.
So emotional. And then she died. And he was, I mean, clearly a basket case. He, you know, had a broken heart. And so that version of him would have really liked you. It's hard to say about the one I grew up with. Hard to say. Sometimes I didn't even know if he liked me. But I know he loved me.
Gotta keep people on your toes, I guess, right? Keep people on their toes.
I'm not really into that. I don't think he wasn't like a monster. It wasn't like he was withholding. He just didn't show it a lot. And there's something to be said about people like that.
Yeah.
You know, when they do show it, then it's really meaningful. But I'm not really a withholder. I have noticed like in my writer's room, I mean, for lack of a better word, I'm pretty lame. Like, I'm so enthusiastic about stuff and positive about stuff, and I know that's not cool. I can't help it, though.
Everyone else is a lot more cynical, probably.
I wouldn't even say... I mean, everyone's really nice. People are way cooler, though. And, like... No one's enthusiastic. The enthusiasm I show sometimes makes people uncomfortable because it's like, be cool. You know, there's a joke going now because I love the show so much that I'm always like, I'm always saying that, or I'm always like referencing something from season one that I loved, and everyone's like, okay, we get it. You love the show.
Oh, that's funny. Maybe turn that down, right?
Yes. And a couple of the people were like, I'm going to have to come in like, half hour late because my kid's Christmas thing is this morning, and the other one's like, oh yeah, mine's on Friday, and I'm like, I just want you to know I missed my kid's Christmas performance because I just love working here so much. So I guess I'm a kiss ass, but it's funny. It's all in the context of
that's good,
hopefully. Okay, well, because last week we only got to I think like one question, and as everyone knows, we are slowly bringing this show to a close, but we are starting a new version of this show that's going to be new and improved, and I think we still will answer questions from time to time on that.
Oh yeah.
So
we haven't even talked about
coming.
That, but yeah, I think that's
yeah.
Can I eat two Cheez-Its off mic while you read this question?
Sure. All right, guys, backstory. I have been best friends with this person for the last please don't do that. That's okay. I have been best friends with this person for the last 10 years. We literally talked every morning on our way to work. We spent weekends together. Her and her boyfriend helped us move into our house when no one else would. We have been through almost everything in life together, and we were best friends through it all. So much so that she was to be the maid of honor in my wedding next May.
Where's this going?
Very curious. Back in June, my phone smashed into 1,000 little pieces, and to make a long story short, I had to get another one with a brand new number. I had had the same number for the last 10 years, so it was a total headache when I switched over to my new one. I was texting everyone I knew, telling them my new number, and my best friend was the first one I texted. She never responded, so I tried calling her. She wouldn't answer. Finally, after 2 weeks of radio silence, I drove up to her house in the country and knocked on her door. She asked what I was doing there, and I told her I had been trying to get a hold of her from my new number with no success. I asked her why she wasn't responding to my texts, and she said she hadn't been getting them because she needed to update her phone. I'm no engineer or anything, but I didn't believe she wasn't seeing my text because of not doing the latest update. She promised to save my new number and even called me on my way home. That was the last time I spoke to her. I've played this over and over in my head. Her boyfriend is very controlling and emotionally abusive. So much so that she gave up rights to her two children.
Yeah.
Huh?
To the boyfriend?
Back in February, after we got engaged, they had me up for dinner, and him and I got into a massive Trump debate. Him being incredibly for and me being against. It ended on a positive note, and we agreed to disagree. He even said he knew that conversation was going to happen. He was glad we could even have a healthy debate without hating each other. I couldn't help but wonder if this debate had a role in our friendship ending, and that it may not even be her, but him. I refuse to apologize for my opinion and my stance on the political climate. I refused to and still refuse to back down to a misogynistic, controlling, emotionally abusive man, but I can't help but wonder if this cost me my friendship. My fiance says to keep trying to reach out to her, but I can't put myself out there again just to be heartbroken. I guess what I'm asking is, how do you find closure in this without getting any from her? Huh.
This is an interesting one because it doesn't, unless the writer inner is not allowing themselves to like really look at the big picture and like is in denial about something happening. The arc of this story is her phone broke and she got a new number. And from that day forward, she's been getting ghosted. But, and then there's this incident with like the husband. So,
well, it sounds like the incident with the husband might have happened before the phone broke.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that like that explains kind of a time lag. Whereas I think if her phone hadn't broken and she wasn't hearing back from her friend, she would just be like, what the fuck is up? But
don't you wonder, though, if she had transferred her number instead of getting a whole new number? But maybe there's like a really good deal if she got a new number or something. But aren't you a little curious if she wouldn't have changed the number if this story ends differently?
What? What are you saying right now?
Just, is anybody wondering that?
I'm wondering what? Say it again.
Like, she got a new number and then all this stuff started happening. I'm just a little curious, you know, like when a
like
butterfly...
Like sliding doors?
Yeah, like if she would have kept the same number.
Okay, Andy, can we get
can we just put it out there that that's the reason all this happened? Like for some weird reason, that is why it happened.
Well, I think the big question here is the big question, which I mean, the big question is how do you have closure from a relationship? In this case, a close friendship. People wonder this all the time with love relationships. How do you get closure on a relationship when you truly don't know what you did, if you did, what their perception is, and why this has happened? But, okay, and you're not going to get it from them.
This one, the reason this one is unique, though, is what I was originally going to say and never got to it was, okay, if you really did talk, if you're really good enough friends that you are literally talking to this person on your way to work for 10 years in a row, and then all of a sudden things fizzled out and you can't really think of anything in particular except maybe her controlling husband, which could totally be it,
oh,
right?
100%.
Without a
and
doubt.
I don't even know what...
But wouldn't you want an answer? Like, oh. And can't you... If that is the case, can't you sort of keep putting yourself out there for a minute to demand the answer?
She says, I can't put myself out there again just to be heartbroken. I personally am with Andy. Just the curiosity alone would kill me. And I actually
and
fiance,
think...
The fiancé,
right?
Fiancé.
With the fiancé, too.
I think the writer in her has a great opportunity because she was meant to be the maid of honor in a wedding that's going to be in a few months. So you drive yourself over there and say, I know something's going on, clearly. I love you, and I will love you. I don't know what has happened.
And I'm not leaving until I get answers.
I want to know what happened, and I also want to know if this is something we can work out because I'm planning a wedding, or if I need to make other plans for my wedding.
So wait, the writer inner's getting married?
Yeah.
This is crazy.
I also am like, I don't know. Part of me thinks like, okay, I don't know what gave up rights to her two children means.
Seems a little, yeah.
That seems confusing to me and very
maybe
extreme.
To like parents or something?
Maybe. But I mean, that would indicate some sort of very controlling relationship with the boyfriend. And I wonder, honestly, part of me thinks you could easily chalk it up to that. That all tracks. He, like, abusive person's first order of business is like turning their, you know, victims against the best friends, like cutting off safety nets, basically. So part of me thinks that what you should do is go over there when you know he's not going to be there. Demand an answer. If she truly isn't giving one, be like, I'm going to have to, you know, get a new maid of honor. I don't know what's going on, but I also love you. And I want you to know I will always be here for you. Like, if we haven't talked in 2 years and you need to come over to get away from something, or
yeah,
like, just know I'm a safe space for you always. And I have love for you, you know, and I won't be reaching out to you anymore. But if you ever need to reach out to me, I'm here for you.
It's nice.
Because I suspect that's probably what's going on. And I don't know about in terms of getting closure. I mean, I think it's just something that, you know, it's funny. I have a friendship that I felt pretty burned by because it suddenly changed pretty drastically. Like, boundaries were established that was on her end, and I didn't know if I had done something, or like, it was, it felt pretty jarring. And now we're still friends. We're still like, I still love her. I think she still loves me, but we have these new boundaries in place that now I'm even realizing are healthier for me, for both of us. In hindsight, I think that, you know, just our personality types and stuff, like being that close with each other was probably not the best for us at this period in our lives. And I'm grateful for it. So I feel like I've really come through one of those things where, like, I have a friend who I love very much, who I used to be much closer to, who, like, the process hurt, but honestly, I'm grateful for that. So it took time, and I think, you know, a lot of like sending love to them, letting go of it. Also, oh, one thing that did help me is the four agreements.
Okay.
Which I forget what they are exactly, but one of them, the one is to never assume.
Oh, that's a great one.
So like, don't assume that you know what their thing is, or if it's because you did something. Like, don't make any assumptions. And the other one is to really, like, let go. Don't take anything personally. So meaning that anything that someone else is doing that might hurt you is because of their shit.
Right.
It has nothing to do with you. You know, be true to your word is one. So basically the premise of these things are that, like, you need, you always will do your best. If you have hurt someone or wronged someone, you will do your best to make, like, apologize to them, make amends and stuff like that. But beyond that, you don't need to take on everyone else's stuff. It's very liberating. I'd recommend checking those out. Okay. Anything to add to that, Andy? Or you were mostly just perplexed by the, or curious about this phone number?
Yeah, we'll never know.
Here's a question. Okay, there are these things that happen in life, I feel like, and that you're like, I don't know what I believe after this life. I don't know what the purpose is of all of this. I think we've established that we both hope that there's something bigger than us.
Like, she was always supposed to have that phone number and this weird thing happened.
Well, are there any things that have happened that you're like, I cannot wait to know the answer to that? And I know that for some people, like, particularly, this is heartbreaking, but parents who lose children, like, or anyone where someone just disappears, it's like, well, what happened? Or what was the situation with OJ? I think we all know the answer to that. But right. You know what I mean? Stuff like that where you're like, Serial, did Adnan, was he involved? Like, there are these things that I'd like to know. And I feel like there are other, like, ghosts. What's up with that?
Yeah.
How about for you?
Oh, a lot of things, I guess.
Um,
I don't know off the top of my head. I got a little confused by the question because I thought you meant like particular moments in our lives, and then you were like Adnan and OJ.
Well, no, but what's a particular moment? This can be anything. I have one.
I have one. There was a girl I went to elementary school that I wonder what happened to her.
What do you mean?
I just wonder what happened to her.
Well, what did happen to her?
I don't know. But what? She was like, she was kind of teased.
Did she, did she like vanish or?
No, I just don't go to, I left that elementary school.
Oh, okay. You could probably like just look her up. Do you remember her name?
No.
Oh, okay.
I remember her first name.
What was it?
Nancy.
Nancy?
Mm-hmm.
A little girl in elementary school in the 80s named Nancy?
Yeah.
Whew. Well, I'll tell you what happened to her.
She's black.
Either she is like...
I only said she's black just because I, for some reason, I thought you were picturing a little white girl named Nancy.
I was.
Yeah, so I just want to clear up the picture.
Doesn't matter.
No.
Either she is a very successful, like...
She had a hard go of it in elementary school.
Well, yeah, that's what we say. Either she like rose above the tormenting. I think honestly having a name like Nancy in elementary school is going to be a tough go in the 80s. Now she's a successful like newscaster in like, I don't know, some like city in North Dakota. Or things didn't go so well. I don't know what that looks like either. But I wonder if when I was in fourth grade, I was at a slumber party. Mm. My face was under the lip of a pool table. And yeah. In the middle of the night, a pool ball jumped the lip and landed on my nose and teeth and knocked my two teeth out and smashed my nose. And that's how I woke up. And no one knows what that was about. I want to know if some kid out there...
I think it's someone you're still friends with, probably.
Well, I'm not friends with anyone.
You're not?
That was girls? In San Francisco.
Oh, okay. That's yeah. Well, that, then that's a little better.
All right, let's move on. Okay, guys. My husband and I have been married for 7 years. Overall, we have a great relationship, but my weight has always been an underlying issue. When we met, I was on the heavy side, and now 2 kids later, I've gained 60 pounds. So, okay. He's never outright mean or degrading, but we have had frank conversations and he has expressed that he isn't attracted to me at this weight. He thinks I'm a great mom and wife. We have fun together and co-parent well. I would like to lose weight for health and to keep up with the kids as well as look and feel great, not to mention improve my marriage. I have been going to the gym 5 times a week, joined Weight Watchers, and started going to therapy. All of these things have helped me become a happier person on the inside, and the weight is very, very slowly coming off. Now the question. His family lives across the country and we don't see them often. The last time we visited was 5 years ago. We are planning on going to visit over Thanksgiving this year. And I don't want to go. A couple years ago, while we were having a conversation about his feelings on my weight, he mentioned that he is embarrassed of me and wants me to lose weight before we go back to visit his family. This was very hurtful, and even though he has apologized, I know he still feels that way. When I bring it up to him that I'm still hurt by it, he says he can't change the past. And what he said, he says he knows I will have fun going back to visit, and it is what it is, meaning my weight. I want to go visit, but I'm worried I won't be able to shake my anger at him, and the trip will be miserable. I have been very angry at him since we started planning this trip about a week ago. We are planning to visit for 2 weeks, so if I don't go, that will be a long time away from my kids. What should I do?
Mm.
Hmm. Man, let's talk about weight.
Okay.
This is such a tricky...
It is.
Listeners, you know, I've been talking about my feelings about it recently, and body image, and I feel like it's so linked to even all the Me Too stuff and just all of this perception of women, and we're sure. Objectified and blah, blah, blah. And people have been giving me like podcasts to check out that are either like really body positive or just talking about weight and what that means, particularly right. For women. I haven't listened to any of them, but I appreciate them, and I'm happy to know that they're out there for anyone who wants to delve into this further with people who probably know what they're talking about. But this is one of those things that, like, it's hard because as a woman and also someone who's, like, not consistently thrilled about my weight, I'm, like, very defensive for women, and I don't like that this is a thing that they have to, a mold they have to fit into. And we've talked about, it's like, there's also a difference if a man is marrying you and you are big versus, like, going into a relationship and then piling on the weight and what that means. And there's a double standard, you know, and I don't know where I land, because I also do feel, you know, the roles were reversed, honestly. And you, there was something about you physically that I felt like,
if I gained 60 pounds in the, you would be bringing it up to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not mean spirited or, but that's the thing. I don't think I, honestly, I mean, if you gained 60 pounds, I would be like, what is going on? Like, something is going on, because that would be
so
indicative of, like, a deeper.
Right. Well, that might be a great place to start, because I feel the same way. If you gain 60 pounds,
yeah,
that would be a similar thing. But let's take that out of it for a minute and address the elephant in the room. Like,
my thighs.
If you gain 60 pounds,
just kidding,
I'd be bummed about that. You know what I mean? And, like, I know it's, like, a horrible thing to say, and it's extra loaded, I think, for women.
Yeah.
But I think if I gained 60 pounds, taking all that other stuff out of it, you would be bummed too.
Yeah. I would, but I don't think it would be, like, I would be much more concerned about the underlying, truly, honestly. And I also, along with that, would be, like, I feel like if we can address that, it will help solve this problem and the weight will fall off. Like, that's would be my mindset.
So maybe that is kind of the,
but the, it gets very tricky for women who are having kids, and there's this, all this hormonal stuff. Like,
sure.
I feel like there are different, I mean, there's a whole different system that's happening, and then add that to the, what it means for women and blah, blah, blah. It's just like, you're right. I will be totally honest. If you gained 60 pounds, I would be bummed about how, I would probably be far less sexually attracted to you. But truly, when it comes to, like, our family and what that means, I would be so less worried about my attraction to you than I would be about, like, what's going on in your mental health, like, what, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Physical health also. And obviously this woman is working very hard to change it for herself and for her husband. But I understand the anger of feeling like, why can't you just accept me for me? And I think I would be very hurt. I mean, I would be very hurt and angry if you were like, I'm embarrassed for my family to see you.
Of course. It's... would be incredibly hurtful.
And that's the other thing. If you and I both, like, even if we were like, oh, I'm bummed out, you're overweight, and I feel like we aren't even supposed to use that word anymore. That's a whole other thing.
Which word?
Overweight.
Why?
Because it implies that there is this ideal weight.
But there is, in the sense of, I mean, I guess you can use obese. There is... There are thresholds for each individual person. They're different.
Mm-hmm.
But where, you know, you are medically at an unhealthy weight for yourself.
Yes. And there are many different situations. I mean, there are food addicts. There are people who have, like, thyroid problems. There's there's a whole spectrum of things that can contribute to someone being unhealthily fat. You know, I know someone who was in this twin study for, like, that had been going on for 50 years and it tracked twins forever. And it's very interesting to me because almost all of the twins, no matter how hard they worked at it or whatever, different lifestyles, some of them like grew up in different families, even, you know, like adopted out or whatever, their weights were shockingly
similar,
consistent. And it just, it does make me think like we kind of just are who we are. And I almost feel like the weight gain happens when we become engaged in a toxic relationship with body image and food, and like because of all the pressure to be something we're not contributes. I've felt that way. Like, you know, my mom put me on a diet when I was 10.
Right.
And it was like a bonding experience for us. Like, oh, we're going on a diet together. And I lost a bunch of weight on it. And she was so proud of me. Like, I still remember going shopping and the women at the store were like, she's like a little dress up doll. And I felt so proud of myself. And like, I often wonder, you know, my mom was, her mom did that to her even worse. Like she had a very unhealthy relationship with weight and food. She was always either dieting or binging. And I wonder, like, if I had had just a normal relationship with food, would I naturally be like 20 pounds lighter than I am? Because it wasn't this like yo-yo guilt, shame, restricting, binging, like fucking up my body.
I think it's, I mean, maybe or not maybe, that's a big part at play, right? Like your near surrounding influence, right? Your family, your parents, everything like that, right? But the bigger thing at play is just the whole cultural thing that you're growing up with too, right? You're getting bombarded with it. When we're, when you were a teenager, it was the age of the supermodel.
I mean, I am glad, honestly, at least today, young girls, I mean, it, we have a long way to go, but there are beauty role models. And by the way, I would love to get to a place where we don't need beauty role models.
Sure.
Not that there's anything wrong with feeling and looking beautiful, but like the fact that that is such a touchstone for what young women aspire to. You know, the fact that the Kardashians are like, that's like a beauty and consumerism role model. It's just like, but at least these role models are not twigs. Right. And it's not just as skinny as you can be is the goal. It's at least there's some womanliness to it. You know, not to say if you are like very thin that that's not womanly, but like at least... Yeah, growing up, I feel like it was just like you wanted to be basically invisible. Like as close to as invisible as you could get is the goal.
But yeah, I mean, since that twin study, it's like I wonder, I think all these things are the big factors, right? Your family life, what's going on in society, culture at the moment, and your genes. But it's like that twin study, I wonder what, I wish we could split up twins, right? And one of them grows up right now here in California and the other one grows up in Africa 200 years ago. And like, are they the same weight? You know what I mean? Like probably not. Like I think the cultural power is huge.
Well, and also like lifestyle. I mean, 200 years ago in Africa where you're like hauling water and like building things and having to go out and hunt and is very different from like pressing a button on your computer. So, okay. I've been complaining about this a lot this week. I've been in this writer room for 3 weeks and I've already gained like 5 pounds, which is depressing. It's also the holidays and there's a lot going on. But I said something about it today in the room and everyone's like, oh yeah, it's the writer's room. Like it'll come off when you're out of the writer's room, but this is like a very writer's room thing. Cause you're literally ass in chair for 8 hours a day. You're not moving. They order you lunch every day. I'm getting salads and stuff at for lunch, but it's like,
what kind of salad are you getting?
I got a crazy salad today, and yesterday I got like
a crazy one.
Caprese.
Oh.
Okay. I got like one of those Chipotle chicken salads without the chicken.
Mm.
But anyway,
they're getting Chipotle for lunch.
Not Chipotle. No, we haven't gotten Chipotle for it's
from Qdoba.
No, these are all from.
I think you did get Chipotle.
No, we didn't.
Okay. What'd you get?
I don't know the restaurant.
Okay.
But it was called a Chipotle chicken salad.
Oh, I'm glad we cleared it up though.
Anyway, but.
Do you see where we missed each other on that?
Yeah. Yes, I saw it.
I thought you were saying the chain, Chipotle, the restaurant chain.
Okay. So.
Not the flavor.
Back to, you know, that was reassuring that like, this is just a thing that happens and I'm doing my best, but I'm not going to like beat myself up over it. And I've had to catch myself in front of Teddy saying like commenting on my body negatively or whatever in the last week or so. But you're very quiet and stone-faced right now.
I have a thought.
Okay.
I have a big thought for you.
Okay.
What if it just, you took weight out of it altogether? What if it was like you weren't worried about the weight at all, right? And it was more like, when I get out of, like, here's like a cliche for, let's say, tons of people. Like, a new year is coming, a new year's resolution. I want to lose 20 pounds, right? Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What if part of the answer for tons of people, yourself included, is taking the weight out of it, and like the weight is not the goal at all? Like if you could take that out, and it's like the New Year's resolution is like, I want to be more active.
I mean, I actually love this. I thought you were going to say something else, but I love that. The problem is I do want to be more active. Like I want to take dance classes.
Right.
But
what if it doesn't have to come with losing weight?
No, I'm saying that's great, but I also am like, I already feel like I'm not seeing the kids as much.
Oh, right.
Like time.
Right.
I want to take dance classes. You know, I've been like once or twice a week, waking up early and going to walk a loop.
Yeah.
That's like a 4 mile yeah. loop. I feel so much better on the days that I do that.
Right.
I do need to build that structure into my life totally.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also the food.
Sure.
You know, we have ice cream at night. Like I want to stop doing that. I keep trying to. This is the problem is like you. And it is interesting. Is it like nature or nurture? We see with one of our kids who has a crazy sweet tooth, just like me.
Yeah.
And one of our kids doesn't.
Yeah.
And I have that thing where like, I can't be around someone eating ice cream and be like, no, I'll pass unless I'm really like, I gotta make that. I want to lose a pound. I gotta, you know right, what
which,
I mean?
Which is like, but that's the thing that's so lame. It's like you have this constant thing hanging over you.
Yeah.
And even to get back to the thing I was just saying, like, I think part of the problem is like, you're like, oh, I want to do these dance classes and I'm doing these dance classes and fuck, I'm doing a dance class a week, but I haven't lost any weight. Like that can be a thing that derails
right.
the dance class experience, which fucking blows.
Yes, that's very
and
true.
And I'm also saying this, like, I love your body.
Thank
like,
you.
I'm the big fan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, to me, it's just like, I don't know. I think that would eliminate so many problems for so many people.
You know what I want to do? And I keep saying about doing this, and I think it should not be about the weight or what the scale says or anything, but like what comes with that is this mental energy. Like I was talking with my friend about this, who she dated someone who was an alcoholic, and he was like a total functional alcoholic. So he wasn't getting belligerent or like wasted or anything, but she was like, the amount of energy that went into this human being's life about when it's the appropriate time to drink, how much he will drink, how much he won't drink. Like, how will he get to the place where there will be alcohol? How will he get around people who will be okay with drinking with him? How will he set it up so he won't have to drive?
Yeah, like, yeah.
That sort of thing, I think that when you're talking about weight and trying to lose it and stuff, comes, you know, like, I mean, I haven't counted a calorie in many years, but I used to go crazy about that shit.
Yeah.
And it takes up so much mental energy, and then it kind of turns off your brain from like enjoying food. And mm-hmm. then you try to lean into like, well, I'm just going to enjoy everything I eat, which I do think there's validity to that. The one time in my life that I really felt like I freed myself from all of that shit, and it truly wasn't about weight loss, even though that did happen, it was just so slowly, was when I was like, I'm going to have 3 plates of food a day. I'm not going to snack. I don't get dessert during the week. Like, during the week, I get 3 plates of food. I don't get seconds. I like look at the plate beforehand and it's like, what's a reasonable amount of food that I'm going to eat right now? Because that's where I get tripped up all the time.
Still seems, but that doesn't even make sense to me. I don't think I've ever seen you eat more than half of your plate of food. Like you, if we go out to a restaurant, hopefully this is not like a weird thing to say. Wouldn't you agree with me that most of the time, like the waiter's like, do you want a box to go? Like you don't often eat much of your food at a restaurant.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't.
Like to me, that doesn't seem like a thing for you.
Yeah. I don't know what the thing is, honestly. But I do like, I mean, I like the premise of, here are the two things. I would like to release myself from spending so much energy on this. And I like the premise of doing what feels good, like exercise wise. I mean, that's a whole other thing for us. Like I do want to take 1 or 2 dance classes a week. What does that mean in our life? How do we do that? And I already feel like you are bending over backwards to make the space for me even just to work. And I also want to repay the favor. Like I honestly think it means sitting down and like finding a schedule where like you get a night off. You know, we're going to podcast every week one night. That's going to be one night. Mm-hmm. You should get a night off. Maybe I get a night off separate from that. And I don't know. We'll have to figure it out. But we're getting way off this question. Personally, I think this question requires couples therapy.
And couples therapy. I kind of hope that she went on the trip because I do feel like if she didn't go on the trip, it was a 2-week trip and the kids, I feel like in the long run, that might be harder to navigate for some reason.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm wrong.
You know, this is really an unfortunate situation. I mean, it's a great example of really thinking about what you're saying. And he did not need to express to him that he would be embarrassed with her around his family.
Right, right.
If he wants her to lose weight or something or help to encourage her or be honest with her about like, you know, if he wasn't really into sex with her and she's like, what's going on? And he's like, I have to be honest with you. I love you so much. I know you're working hard at this. I appreciate it. If I'm being totally honest, just right now, you know. I don't know. There's a way to do it. But to say that now it puts her in a lose-lose because like, if I were in her position, even if I did lose all the weight and then like, it's like, okay, everything's fixed. It still doesn't fix how hurtful that was and how much I know now that like, I don't know. It takes some of the win out of the losing weight in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but okay, but what's the difference in that comment versus the, like, I'm not as attracted to have sex with you comment?
Yeah, as he was saying that, I was like, that's not great either. But, I mean, everyone should be able to share their honest feelings. Like, I don't think it's that helpful if she's like, what's going on? And he's like, oh, nothing. I'm fine. You know, if that's...
I think the main takeaway for the family going to visit one, there's something about that comment that feels like, you didn't need to go there, though. Like, there are other probably more appropriate ways to navigate.
It's very hurtful.
Yeah, it's very hurtful. But no, I think they can navigate this in couples therapy, though.
Yeah, I would recommend. I don't even know where to go with this. I just feel all sorts of sadness for her. Because she's trying also. That's the thing, is that there's such a sadness to like her trying so hard, and then that's the thanks you get. Like, you know, not that I think it would be ever justified, but like, let's say someone were just like laying on the couch all day with their hand in a bag of Doritos, clearly needs to get help and depressed, like, but really just had given up, and someone was like, I'm kind of embarrassed or whatever. Still not great, but I don't know. It just feels like such a kick to, you know, I don't know. I wanted to bring that up because it is a subject that it feels really hard to navigate. And I do understand, like, if I'm being completely honest, I do think I understand. You know, there are definitely things you could do to your physical appearance that I would be like, oh boy.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, part of being in a partnership that is sexual, like there are things to do with physical appearance. There just are.
Yeah.
But then it's so loaded, and especially for women, and obviously I'm wrapped up in that too. Okay. Last question. All right, guys, I have a question for Elizabeth and all the other moms out there. My sister is 8 months pregnant with her first child and has asked me to be present during the labor. She's hoping to have an unmedicated delivery, and assuming there are no complications, we'll be laboring mostly at home and then moving to a birthing center attached to a hospital. It's a very intimate environment by design, and in addition to her OBGYN, a doula, and her boyfriend, she has allowed one other person in the room, which is me. It means the world to me that she wants me to be with her, and I know that my job is mostly to show support, help her boyfriend remain calm, and be the connection to the outside world, aka both sets of families. That said, I have no children, have never even come close to a delivery room, so I want to do everything I can in the next month to prepare. I would love any and all recommendations you can provide for books and other resources to look at, as well as general advice for being a supportive little sister and soon to be aunt. Oh, that's sweet.
Very sweet. Did we miss the cutoff?
I think so. Congratulations, auntie. So sorry. Well, I'm sure you did great. I think even being conscientious about, that's the main thing.
That's the name of the game, right?
Honestly, every woman is different. The thing I would have wanted if there were someone extra in the room would have been to take pictures, which I think for a lot of people would be like the last thing that they would want. But to be quiet and to take pictures and like just kind of be an observer.
Get beverages.
Yeah. But I mean, it sounds like she's well prepared. She's a doula. I'm sure if she's going this route, she and her boyfriend have talked to the doula and kind of know. Yeah. Hopefully it will.
Yeah. Ask the doula is great too. You'd be like to the doula, like, yo, if you ever see me like doing something that like I need to fix, just give me a head nod.
Oh, I didn't tell you this. This is really funny. So one of our good friends is due very soon with the baby. We just saw them recently.
Okay.
And she's like gorgeous, and she and her husband are so great, funny. And she was like, oh, we're starting to meet with doulas. We're kind of late to the game. And I was like, you're not late. Andy and I hired our doula 8 hours into labor.
Mm.
Remember?
Yes.
And they're like, what? And I was like, then I was like, well, she had been there for Teddy's, so it wasn't really, you know, like sight unseen, but still we had not met with her. We did not know she was available. Remember? Yeah.
How did that all come about?
It was several.
Or was she like on call sort of?
No.
That night?
No.
We asked her to get involved?
That night we asked
the midwife?
Yes.
And, to reach out?
And just said, like, is there any chance she could be there? Because she was there for Teddy's. And then she's like, oh, she's a doula now. And we're like, oh, we want her. Remember, it was like all very last minute. And honestly, thank God, because I really think she helped us get to a place where we could have our child in a vehicle instead of at the hospital, which is really what I wanted all along. I'm just kidding. No, but she did make everything okay for us. But then I was saying to her friends, I was like, she's amazing. She was there for both kids' births. She, like, especially Otis's, really got me through, because I was really hanging by a thread the whole time. And she really helped us. And then they were like, oh yeah, great. Give me your number. And then I was like, yeah. And she's also like, I mean, she's just like, when you think of what sort of movie star version of a doula, like this earth goddess.
She's not a movie star version of a doula.
What?
They would never make a movie star doula look like her in the movie.
Why?
Because she's too attractive.
Okay, that's okay. That is kind of what I was saying it in a better way. It was, she's like, she looks like a model who is like, but I'm really cool and I'm going to become a doula. She's just like stunningly, naturally beautiful, easy breezy, you know. And I was describing her and our friend was like, nope, not interested. Thanks so much. Not interested. It's pretty funny.
That's amazing.
All right. Well, I think we'll wrap this up and we'll get to more questions. I keep saying we're going to do a lot of questions and then we start talking about
some questions.
My weight gain. I love you, Andy.
Love you, Bea.
You're the best.
You're the best.
Thanks for listening, guys, and happy Hanukkah. And we will be back.
Elizabeth just looked at me like, was that okay?
We'll be back. Oh, wait. Can you say the prayer now? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam.
I can do that much part, too. I get tripped up afterwards.
Okay, you do that part.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam.
Whoa, that sounded...
That's where you dance on the Melech HaMelechim.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam.
Something like that.
All right, guys. We're working on it. We'll be back next week and we'll have perfected all of the Hebrew prayers.
Blessed art thou.
Amen. Bye, guys.